Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Go ahead, sit down. Can I just say, that may be a difficult hymn to sing, but how about that line? The perfect Trinity, let all the worlds give answer, amen, so shall it be. Is there a better, just in terms of poetry, to get a sense of the cosmos, let all the worlds give answer, everyone and everything that ever has been, amen, so shall it be. Sorry, I'm going to get carried away. Excuse me. Okay. Okay. Similarly, I'm sort of mesmerized. Do you guys, I don't know if you recognize this or not, just from the reading. John 17, the whole chapter is what's often called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's just kind of called that. And it's this sort of, when you read through it, it's this sort of odd conversation that Jesus is having with God the Father. He's praying to God the Father, mostly on behalf of his disciples. And so we're getting in the gospel lesson today, a little bit less than half of that prayer that Jesus is praying on behalf of his disciples. And before we turn very much to the text, I just want you to recognize that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, incarnate in the flesh on behalf of humanity, the undisputed champion of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who reigns in power at the right hand of God, is praying for you. He takes his time at the end of his ministry to pray for his disciples, with his disciples. He's sitting there with them, and he takes time to pray for them to his Father. That fact alone is, for my money, astonishing. It is incredible that, again, the Lord of hosts would ask God the Father for what you need. That's amazing. But then I'd like to focus just on really kind of the first line that we have in today's text anyways from Jesus' prayer. Holy Father, keep them, again, that's, he's talking about his disciples, but for our sake, the church, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Now, again, this prayer is pretty heavy stuff when you read through it. There's a lot to it. And there's a lot just in that one line. Holy Father, Jesus, again, we have God the Son praying to God the Father on behalf of his church. That's astonishing. Keep them, that is, the church in your name, that is the name that you have given to me. So Jesus is asking God the Father to give to you, his holy church, the same name that God the Father blessed him with, that they may be one even as we are one. His aim and his goal and his purpose for this line, anyways, in this prayer, is unity within the church. He wants to share his name with his beloved bride so that they may be one, just as surely as he and God the Father are one. We'll talk about this more in depth in a couple of weeks on Trinity Sunday when we say the Athanasian Creed together. how many gods do we have? Come on, guys, you should know this one. One. Thank you. We have one God. Now, our God is in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But our God is, make no mistake, one God. So when Jesus prays to his Father on behalf of his church and says, make them one just as we are one by dint of giving them your name. When he says one, guys, he means one. And that's astonishing. Now the name of God, much ink has been spilled on the topic of the name of God for millennia by plenty of people much more eloquent and knowledgeable than me. But let's just contemplate it for a moment together. We believe in one God in three persons. His name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, let's not mince words about this. When we say God the Father, we're not, as some people would slanderously, I would say, assume, taking the image of the Father that we all kind of have and saying, oh yeah, God's kind of like my dad. That's not it at all. God is not like your father. God is Father. God is in a totally pure and unadulterated and in some ways completely unknowable sense, Father. And to the extent that your father was a good father, and all fathers that even strive and struggle to be good fathers are but frail imitations, pale reflections in dim mirrors of Father. To the extent that your father was a good father or is a good father, he is only barely, dimly aping God, the Father. Now, similarly, God the Son. You may have a great son, and some people may say, oh, yes, we call him God the Son, just sort of arbitrarily because, well, don't you see, he's kind of like a son to God the Father, who's kind of like my dad. Again, I'm not insulting anyone's father or anyone's son today. I'm a father and a son. But God the Son is, like the Father, the Son. He was perfect in all things, and perfect, which you could see in his prayer here, also in submission and acknowledgement of the authority of his Father. That's one aspect of being a good son, let alone the Son. And so again, to the extent that you have a son who is a good son, even on a good day, a good son, or even if you only know someone who has a son who is on a good day, a good son, they are but a pale and weak imitation of the real Son. All fathers and all sons derive their names from the true isness that is God the Father and God the Son. That is what we believe. And the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, as I insist confirmation students call him, God, the Holy Spirit, because he also is God, one of the three persons of the one God, is the only true, life-giving, Holy Spirit. There are spirits, and you might know some pretty spirited people. Some of them might even be good-spirited or good-natured. But God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who breathes true life into anyone who has it. If you think you've got breath in you, it's only true if you've got the Holy Spirit. If you think you've got life in you, it's only because you have received the Holy Spirit. If you're drawing breath, if you're living, if you think you're alive, you don't know what life is if you don't have the life that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so when our Lord Jesus prays to his Father that his holy bride, that his people, that his church would be kept in his name, that is what he means. He wants his people to be sealed, signed, and delivered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is why we bother saying this so often. God's name is not just some name. God's name is the name from which all other names are derived. In the best case, they're but, again, dim reflections of the power and the majesty and the beauty of the name that is God's. Again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is why when people are baptized, they are baptized into the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is why we begin with what we call the invocation, because I invoke upon you that name by which you are sealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the name that you have been sealed with, that has granted to you the forgiveness of your sins, that has gained you entryway into this family of oneness that we call the church. And the basis of our unity is not agreement about what a chancel ought to look like. It's not agreement about how we ought to spend our money. It's not agreement about all sorts of different things. It is a unity that comes only from bearing the name of God upon your forehead and upon your heart. This is what Jesus is asking for his church, and brothers and sisters, this is what we have. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, we thank you today for the name that you have given to us, that you would call even us lowly, weak, humble servants by your own name, that you have placed that name upon our foreheads and upon our hearts in holy baptism, that you've invoked it upon us as we gather together as your people. We thank you for appointing our Lord Jesus at your right hand, and we ask that you would hear his prayers on our behalf most graciously and answer them. All this we pray in your name, which is our name, which makes us one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.